Okay.
David announced earlier.
No, it's not on.
Oh, you mean you lock the door when you go out?
Yeah. David announced earlier that I was going to give the annual 10-minute lecture about Lichtbenchen. So here goes. The Mishnah says that you have to light candles with covered Shabbos. It doesn't say whether you recite the bracha or not. So Taisus on the opening Mishnah in Perek Amim Adikin has a dispute that we don't recite the bracha with respect to all the other preparations that we do. When we set the table, when we vacuum the rug, when we put up the chon, when we take the shower, we don't say a bracha. So manishtana, why is hadlokas haneris different from all of the other hakhanis? So one opinion in the Bali HaTaisa says that a bracha is not recited. The common practice is that we do recite the bracha. Maybe it was instituted in the days of the Gaonim when they were fighting against the Karaites. The Karaites say you're not allowed to, you have to sit in the dark. They understood Losavarej literally. There could be some suggest it was instituted in the days of the Karaim. Whenever it's instituted, common practice is that we bench lift. We say a bracha and we light the candle. So the Paskim say, number one, a bracha can be recited even on a, most Paskim assume, a bracha can be recited even on an electric bulb. But number two, that's only if the electric bulb has a filament in it that glows when it's heated up. But if you have a fluorescent bulb, a neon, or a LED bulb, it's not a piece of metal that glows when you heat it up. So then they say you can't say a bracha. Now, the hotels all over the world don't permit you to light candles in the room. So if you light candles in the room, you're in violation of Lei Sigzol. They rent you the hotel room on the understanding that they're not going to violate the rules and regulations. So you can't light candles in the room. The question is, can you say a bracha on the electric bulbs? So probably all the electric bulbs in the bathroom and in the bedroom, they're probably by now they're all either fluorescent, neon, or LED, and a bracha cannot be recited. So some would prefer to light candles in the Chabad house where we're going to eat. There they would permit us to light. So the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, the way the commentaries explain, that's not really proper. When you have two different places that you call your home, one, you have two apartments. One apartment you eat, and the other apartment you sleep. So which of the two is considered beso? Hadlokas haneris has to be the beso. Which is considered beso? So the Magen Avraham, the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, the way they say is the following. If the place where you eat is going to be a public location, we're going to have 125 people eating there tonight. And the place where you're going to sleep is more private. You only have one or two people in the bedroom. So the one that's more private is considered beso. Or if they're both equally private, the one that's more comfortable. If one is more comfortable than the other. Let's say I'm sleeping in someone's home and I'm eating, there's a family simcha. So I'm eating together with the whole family that's going to be led with the trailer. I'm sleeping by family, I'm tiptoeing in and tiptoeing out and I don't enjoy it there. I don't even know who the people are that I'm sleeping by them. So you say the bracha when you're light in the room that's more comfortable. We usually assume that the one that's more private is more comfortable. But if it's obvious that the yeshiva bracham in Europe lesson essen tag by balabatim. They used to eat by balabatim who had families. So the families would treat them like shtivkinder. They would treat them like stepchildren. They would give their children big portions and give the yeshiva bracham a small portion. The yeshiva bracham can never get a second. So they didn't enjoy eating by the balabatim. So even though they slept in the dormitory and there were six people in a room, they slept in a big room, but the place where they slept was more comfortable than the place where they ate. So you always say the bracha and the one that's either more comfortable, the one that's more private. See, the bedroom is more private. It's comfortable and it's private. And in the bedroom you can't light candles because the hotel doesn't permit. And you can't say a bracha on the electric bulbs because there is no filament. It's either fluorescent or it's LED. So you have no choice. So you have to light one of the electric bulbs in the bedroom, l'shem Shabbos, and without saying a bracha. Usually, we machmir for the opinion. We don't really pass them like this. We try to be machmir for the opinion of the Sefer Halachas Gedolos, who lived in the days of the Gaonim, that once you light Neir Shabbos, so that's Kabbalah's Tosefer Shabbos. But if you plan, but if you want to carry things to the, you want to carry a raincoat, you want to carry a talis, you want to carry something to go on the bus, so if you want to do a malacha in between Halachas Haneiris and actually when Shabbos begins, so you have in mind when you light the candles, even though you don't say bracha, have in mind that you're not mekabel Shabbos. We only allow it b'shas adchak. So if you have to take a talis, that is a shas adchak. Some people were interested in an obscure question. Rarely ever comes up. What's the din if you get stuck on the highway and Shabbos enters? What are you supposed to do? So the Gemara recommends that one should not travel a long distance on Friday, because the Gemara is not worried about the traffic jam. Because when you arrive at your destination, they may not have any food for you. That's the whole concern that the Gemara has. So if you called on the telephone and they know to expect you, that you're coming today, then as far as the Gemara is concerned, you can travel all you want. But in recent years, we realized that it poses a problem, that sometimes people will get stuck and the sun will set. So after, it's usually assumed that after the sun sets, for the first 18, 25 minutes or so, we consider it Bein Hashmashas, which is considered a Safik Yom Safik Laila. So what's the din in a Safik? So usually whenever you have a Safik, we say Safik Daraisa V'chumra, Safik Darabon L'kula. So perhaps one should have said that one is not permitted to violate any biblical prohibitions during the first 25 minutes after the Shkia, but whatever is only rabbinical is permissible. So to ask a non-Jew to drive me in the car, that's only a gzera midrabbanan. And to go chutz l'tchum, Ashkenazim assume that even going 12 miles, Yud Beis Mil, is also all of tchum and is only midrabbanan. But in Shulchan Aruch, they explain that not all the rabbanans are muta ben Ashmoshes, because you can't really apply the rule of Safik the rabbanan l'kula here. The root of the Safik is a Safik d'araisa. Is it Shabbos or not? If it is Shabbos, then all the dinim d'rabbanan also apply. It's a Safik d'araisa that has ramifications on the level of d'araisa and on the level of d'rabbanan. So the din should have really been Safik d'araisa l'chumra, even with respect to the details that are only mid-d'rabbanan. That's Rabbi Kiva Egerich explaining in one of his tshuvos. So the Shulchan Aruch distinguishes, based on the Tosfos interpretation of the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch distinguishes between the various dinim derabbanan. If it's a din derabbanan kal, a lighter din derabbanan, less serious din derabbanan, then if it's a makom mitzvah, we would be mekel, we would be lenient doing Bein Hashmashas. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens that Amira Lenachri is considered an Isa derabbanan kal. Others are not happy with the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Mishkan Es Yankov assumes that Amir the Nochi should be a Nisa de Rabbanan Chomer. Should be from the, if you're dividing all the Dina de Rabbanan into two categories, so Amir the Nochi should be Nisa de Rabbanan Chomer. See, he's not happy. He doesn't accept the Psaka de Shulchan Aruch. But most follow the Shulchan Aruch that Amir the Nochi would be Mutter during Bein Hashmashas. Even though the Nochi is driving a car, which is a Melacha de Reis on Shabbos, driving a car in Yantav is only a Nisa de Rabbanan. Driving a car in Shabbos is a malacha deraisa. So you can have the Nochri drive you, because that's only an Issa derabbanan kal, Amir the Nochri. However, if he's going to be taking you chutz l'tchum, so that is a problem, because I'm going chutz l'tchum. And tchumen is considered an Issa derabbanan chomer, because it has an asmachta in the chumash. Al yetzi yish ben kom, you shouldn't go chutz l'tchum. So if you're really on a highway, it's not going to help you too much. Bein Hashmashas, you can't go.
you can go chutz l'tchon, but after the Ben Hashmoshes is up, so the jig is up, after 25 minutes. You can have the Nachri drive you for 18, 25 minutes. Then once it's Laila, you're going chutz l'tchon. So you have to stop where you are. If you're stuck on a train, and the train keeps on going, you can't jump off the train, and the train takes you chutz l'tchon, so then there's a Mishnah in Erevin that says, person's on a plane and he lands chutz l'tchum. So when a person is taken chutz l'tchum and he couldn't do anything about it, he's not permitted to go chutz l'dalaram is where he is. So let's say a lot of times the boats landed in America on Shabbos. I remember Mendel Zak said that the boat landed on Shabbos. When they came to America, the boat landed on Shabbos. So they pushed all the passengers off the boat. They had no brera. But then, you can't go chutz l'dalaram. So you have to stand where you are. You have to go to sleep where you are, on the grass, wherever they let you off. Unless he let you off in the middle of an area that's mukaf mechitzes. So we say the whole rishus hayachid is k'dalaram. Or, there's another kula in Shulchan Aruch. They let you off. They drop you off in the middle of a city. So the whole city for Truman purposes is Kedal Ram is Dami. But that's not so poshut, because for a city to have the status of an ear, you have to have a specific configuration. You have to have a minimum of 3 chatzeres. Each chatzer has 2 batim. So in America, they don't build chatzeres anymore. It could be that here, if we look, it'll be easier to find a chatzer. Chatzah is an area that has a mechitza around it, that has at least 2 different homes, the 2 different families in the chatzah. Now you have the 3 chatzeres, are either contiguous to each other, like in Manhattan, all the apartment buildings are touching each other, mamish. Or if they're within 70 amos to each other also. So in order to be considered an area, you need a minimum population of 100. That's not so hard to get. But it could be that, based on the Gemara and the Dharm, could be that only the people who live on the ground floor count. People who live on the upper floors don't count. So it could be you have to have a minimum population of 100 people living on the ground floor permanently. You just have motels and people are just there for a brief period of time that doesn't count. They have to be there for a whole season, like for half a year. So if you have, let's say, a city, you have 3 chatzeres that are either contiguous or within 70 amas to each other, the minimum population of 100, that has the status of an ear. And any house that's within 70 amas to this ear is an extension of the ear. That's called the Ipurishal ear, like a pregnant woman. So her body extends, so the city extends. And you have houses within 70 amas to each other. It's a difficult situation. If the person was taken chutz l'tchum and they leave him off in the middle of nowhere, then he has to stay there. He can't go chutz l'dalanamis. What does he do? He has to go to the bathroom. So the whole prohibition of going chutz l'tchum and not to go chutz l'dalanamis, the whole thing is only with the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says if the person has to go to the bathroom, there's an inyan of kavod abrias. Mishum Kavod Abrias, we permit the person to go somewhere to a private location, to the closest private location. Once he goes to the closest private location, if it happens to be inside a hotel, inside a building, so he's already inside the building. So then the whole building, the whole Mishum Zayochid is considered Kedal Aranus Dome. In the days of the Tanaim, this was an issue. Boats would sometimes land on Shabbos, so the Mishnayos talk about this. In recent years also, boats with refugees from Europe would land on Shabbos, so it would be an ASIC.
And when
it comes to planes landing in Korea, not enough time. The Gemara has a suffix whether the din of Tchumen applies l'mayla me'asara tfachim. So the Gemara is clear that it means if when Shabbos enters, you were in the air. If you're on a train, and the floor of the train is l'mayla me'asara tfachim, that's not sofik, because the train goes on wheels and the wheels are on the ground. Or if you're riding on a horse, so the 4 feet of the horse are on the ground. That's the, even though you're sitting saddle where you're sitting is lamana me'aser tefachim, that doesn't count. But if you're flying in the air, or if you're walking on stilts, you're not sitting, you're not walking or sitting on a platform which is held on the ground, you're walking on stilts, and the elevation where your feet are is lamana me'aser tefachim. And then the Gemara says, Sopik, and because Tchum is the Rabbanah, we go to Kula. Maybe there's no din of Tchum Lamayim Me'aser, means you're not kind of Shvisa. If at the time Shabbos enters, you are the Lamayim Me'aser Tfachim in an airplane, and you're not kind of Shvisa up in the air. Or if you were kind of Shvisa on the ground, and then you go Lamayim Me'aser, Chutz L'Tchum, so that wouldn't be a violation. But once the plane comes down to the ground and starts to taxi, so once the wheels of the plane are on the ground, even though you're the floor of the passenger section is above 10 tefachim from the ground, that's not called a ma'ala me'asara, because the wheels are on the ground. So then, and then the plane may taxi quite a while, and it's usually chutz la'ir. It's not the a lot of times the airports are not in the city; they're out on the outskirts of the city. So it could be that you were kind of shvisa when the plane comes down, let's say 12 o'clock at night, in the middle of Shabbos, Friday night, or Shabbos morning, whatever. So you would be kind of shvisa when the plane lands on the ground, and then it taxis so far away, by the time you get out, it's already, you're already chutz l'tchum, because you were kind of shvisa when the plane came down. If the airport is in the middle of the city, so it's the whole city has the tchum, as one big trump, the whole city is considered kedalanan. The recommendation is not to travel so late on Friday in such a way that you may arrive on Shabbos. It'll be too much of a headache to figure out what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do.
Got it.
Shoshana was playing on the piano as we're about to leave. So one thing she was playing was Ki Besimcha Seitzeu, and the first few years that the MDA Tours was running these programs, the tour director was Nachman Eldon, and whenever the bus would take off to the airport, we were about to leave, he would always have everybody sing Ki Besimcha Seitzeu. He said that's how they did in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. Whenever they went on a trip, they'd always sing Ki Besimcha Seitzeu. Then Shoshana was playing the niggun, Aven Yakeli Ephraim. So people say that I got my wife for a song. What happened was that when we were dating, how many years ago was that? 53 years ago, something like that? 53 years ago.
52.
So she told me on a date that her family is very musically inclined. They know all the niggunim. So I wanted to tease her. So I said, I heard a niggun, do you know how this one goes? And I had heard the niggun a few months earlier when I was in London. The family I was staying by, the boy had just come back for Sukkot. I was there for Sukkot. But I had just come back for Sukkot from Gateshead. And this was the new niggun that they sang in Zechronis. Haben Yaakov Yisrael, Zachar Eskirena Wolf. And the father of the boy didn't pick up the niggun. So he kept on asking the son, please sing it again, please sing it again. So he sang it so many times, so I picked up the niggun. So I sang it on the date, and I asked Shoshana, do you know how this one goes? So she says, no, she never heard that one before. Then I started singing another niggun that I picked up in London. She never heard that one either. And a third niggun. So I said, but as what you said, your family knows all the niggun. How come you didn't know these? I was teasing her. So then she wanted to show me that she picked up the niggun. So she's a Fruma Nadel, so she's not going to sing it for me. So when we got home from the date, I went upstairs to her parents' apartment, and she sat down by the piano. She played the whole niggun from memory, Haben Yaakov Yisrael. She picked up the whole thing from the one time that I sang it. And later on, when we got married, she wanted me to march down the aisle to that niggun. That was the niggun that I marched down the aisle. So that's what they say. He got his wife for a song.